Good morning and welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible a long way. We just had a little technical difficulty there, and we just sang Jesus Paid It All, and we also had some fellowship talking about some good things and talking about what's going to be happening and all. Another day of grace that we have, we should be thankful for that. People ask me sometimes, say, how are you doing, Ed? I said, well, I got one foot on earth and one in the heaven. So, you know, I'm halfway there. So we're going to spend the rest of our time while we're on this earth to understand the things that pertains to us in the dispensation of grace. And we are excited that you are listening to us via our Boxcast, our website, our YouTube channel, and here live. So we want to just lift everybody up in prayer that's got some sicknesses going on. It does seem like some bad times ahead of us, but you know something? I was talking to a dear friend that I work with, and he says, Ed, it's going to get bad. Grocery store's going to have this, and grocery store's going to have that. And I looked at him and said, have you ever had to eat cornbread and beans and fried potatoes three times a week? He goes, no. I said, I have. You'll survive. You'll get by. You may not have the big meals and stuff like that, but you know something? Where's our conversation supposed to be?
In heaven places.
And we're getting fed through the Word of God. And you know what I'm talking about. It can get bad out there. And I think of people's older people, and they can't get around, and they can't get the things that they have. But you know something? You've got to do what God gives you the mindset to do. And just what you know what to do. And just being thoughtful in prayer for that. Let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And we think about our prayer requests and our praise items. We think about the people that's tuning in through the website. We think the ones that are out there that needs to be hearing a clear gospel, that you came and died, was buried, and rose again for our sins. We think about the ones that may be on the verge of understanding what you give us. You know, you tell us about wisdom, knowledge, and the eyes of your understanding. Our eyes need to be opened up. Our heart needs to be open. Our ears need to be open to what you're doing today. And we're thankful for the ones that are here today, that without them being here, then we wouldn't have a corporate church. We wouldn't have a local church, the body of Christ. And that's where we come and meet corporately. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be turning to Hebrews. We're in lesson 46, and we've been studying the fundamentals of dispensationalism. And we started over here in Genesis, and we're over here in Hebrews through Revelation. And what you got to think about, we've done worked our way through here. So in the Hebrews epistles, Hebrews church epistles, if you will, that's there are nine of them, and God's going to use these books and be able to teach the people in this time period over here to understand some things, just like God is using Romans through Philemon in the dispensation of grace. And we should take these books that God is teaching us of what's going on in the dispensation of grace, as same as he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first part of Acts. He took those books to teach the people in that time period to understand some things. Then in Genesis through Malachi, he took those books for their learning and admonition and all. So we're over here going through this, and the overriding, here's what you got to look at. We done went through some things, but the overriding edification issue in the final nine epistles is the circumcision epistles. You do understand that, don't you?
Yes.
You do know back over here, God made a distinction between who? Circumcision and uncircumcision. That's what this timeline's about. This upper timeline right here has to do with circumcision. Now, who was the circumcision? The Hebrews, the Jewish people, okay? That was a sign for them. Then you also had a different group of people down here that was called the what? Uncircumcision or Gentiles, meaning nations. So God made that distinction out there, guys. And we use words in the Bible. We don't use, catchphrases. People using catchphrases to, ooh, wow, that's exciting. You know, Brother Jim mentioned about our church name, Dispensational Bible Church, you know, and you're like, wow, what does that mean? What's a Bible word? It's a Bible-breathed word and gives you an opportunity to teach somebody what we believe. And that's very, very important because it is a God-breathed word and it's in your Bible four times in an authorized version for the English-speaking people, commonly known as the King James Bible, and that's where it's at. Other Bible versions water it down or dilute it and change the meaning. But the circumcision epistles is expressed in Hebrews chapter 6. So be turning to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to take heed to what Brother Tom told me last lesson. Ed, slow down a little bit. You know, slow down a little bit. Wait till we get to the verses. I'm guilty of that. I'm just like, because I got everything I need to know up here. And you guys like back there. Like, I'll slow down a little bit. Hey, I always say we got between now and the catching away. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully the Lord comes quickly. Don't we pray for that?
Amen.
You know, just come quickly. But begin with Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. The circumcision saints in the great tribulation are going to have to face issues that these books are designed to press them forward or toward. You got to remember, we're called out of here. The church, the body of Christ, is made a mystery, was not prophesied in time past, but was kept secret. And the catching away is also was made a secret. It's not the same as Matthew 23 and 24, okay? It's not that. The people is taken away in Matthew 24 and 23, 24 in that area. You know where they're taken away to?
Judgment.
Oh, that upsets people. What do you mean? We're taken away to be with God. No, you're not. The ones that are left behind gets to go in that kingdom over there. The one that's taken away is taken to judgment. That's not a good thing. But anyway, we're taken out of here, and there's a great wrath that's going to be poured out on this world over here. And that ain't happened yet, guys.
Amen.
So yeah, listen. The great proclamation from God Almighty, God of the Bible, God Creator, is grace and peace. Mm-hmm. That's what he's proclaiming today. There's going to be a time when we're taken out of here, grace and peace is not going to be expressed. It's going to be war and judgment. It's going to be a bad time over here. Such things that you and I have never experienced. Even the Lord talked about that, right? So look, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are what?
Dull
of hearing. Of whom? Talking about Jesus Christ and the Melchizedek priesthood, not the Mosaic priesthood. He's got a different priesthood now over here. It's after the order of Melchizedek, not Moses. It's done finished. The law is complete. He nailed everything to that cross, and people don't realize that today, if you think about it. And the things were not hard. These things were not hard to talk about, except these people were not able to receive it yet. And they were hard to utter because they what? Dull of hearing. You know anybody like that today?
Oh, yeah.
In any dispensation you want to look at, the dispensation of promise, the dispensation of law, the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of kingdom, you're always going to find people dull of hearing, period. And then he says, they were like the Corinthians that Paul had much to share with, but they could not because there was, what do you know about the Corinthians at first? Was they able to eat meat?
Children.
Babes. Children. Milk. Now, you are adults here. Could you imagine from the time you was born to 7 years old, all you had was milk? How could you, I mean, would you be able to function?
You'd be very malnourished.
You need meat. You need food. And I've learned that I'll share this with you, we're doing a body fat index competition at a gym I go to as a group. We all weighed in, we got a body fat, and I dropped 2.4 pounds body fat. Well, I dropped 9 pounds, but my body fat went up. And you're like, what's going on? You know what's going on? I wasn't eating enough. I wasn't eating enough protein. So I started changing. I started eating. My weight stayed about the same. My body fat started going down. And if you look at these people today, these athletes are 200 or 300 pounds, and they can run. They'll run you down. You know why? Their body fat contact is down, but they're eating. If they was on milk, they would be, what do you say it was?
Malnourished.
Yeah. That's the same issue here. Hebrews was written to encourage them and motivate them towards edification in their program. Speaking to who? Hebrews. Who would Hebrews be speaking to over here in this time period over here? In fact, I'm going to close this timeline up just for a little bit so you can stay focused on where we're at. Okay? All right? Because that's the dispensation grace is no longer there.
Right.
Right. Okay? So who would these Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, who would these Hebrews through Revelation, who would these Hebrews church epistles be written to?
Hebrews.
The nation of Israel.
Yeah. Commonly known as the?
Little flock.
Okay, the little flock or the circumcision. Yeah. Okay, that's who's going to be over here. And go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Speaking to the little flock. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, but be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need milk, and not what?
Strong meat.
Should they have strong meat over here?
Not yet. I mean, they should. Yeah, they should.
Hey, are you?
That's the goal.
That's the goal. Listen. Some of us today, or to come to knowledge of some truth, we had to be fed milk a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Milk of the scripture. But Paul established the churches that he wrote to, and looked at Corinthians and says, you can't handle me, I gotta give you milk, because of the things they're doing. So now you're getting meat of the scriptures here, okay? But look, Romans chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but I'll share this with you. Well, hold your finger there and go to Romans chapter 10. Romans 9, Paul demonstrates the reason the nation of Israel failed to recognize her Messiah when she showed up, because they did not walk in faith. Romans 9, 10, 11 is dealing with the saved Israelites to explain to them that God postponed you. God's not dealing with you no more. But what does mainstream religion want to do out there? They want to make you a what? Spiritual Jew. They want to say you got all the blessings that God's promised Israel over here, spiritual and physical, when we already have all spiritual blessings in who? In Christ Jesus. They will have all spiritual heavenly and not heavenly places, but on earthly places. But they were not learning from the Word of God that they had, like the law, and what it was trying to teach them. Rather than walking by faith in the law that God gave them through Moses, and learning that a sinner needed a substitute, a savior, and rather than looking by faith to God's provision for them, the Redeemer would come out of Zion, they determined to take the sins themselves. They determined to say, I want to do it. And they declare themselves righteousness without the need of a physician. That's what Israel done. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ popped up on this earth over here, at the right time, on the right track, did they accept him? Did the nation, that he came for the nation. That system, that world, he loved that nation. And he loved them so much, he's coming to die for them first. It is, what does he say? About shedding his blood for many. That's what he told them. Who was that many? Oh, I know, people wearing glasses. Right? Sorry, Jake, Barb, you don't have the glasses on. He didn't die for you. You know, that's nonsense. You know that. But many is many. Many is a certain group of people. It's not all. But look, he came and died. And they did not learn what they should have learned from the law. For by the law is the knowledge of what?
Sin.
Sin. Without the law, you never know you was a sinner. Imagine that. How many times you looked at your kids or your parents looked at you and say, stop that, you're breaking the law. You're breaking this, you're breaking that. You never knew. Listen, people down home, everybody looks at the South and says, oh, poor people down there. We need to go down there and help them. You know, back in the day, you know they didn't know that they was poor until they was told that they was poor. You ever thought about that? I have. Because if a group of people didn't come down there to tell them you're poor and we can help you, they would have never known they was poor. That strikes hard to me. Because there's people today are continuing to say they're poor, they need to be under a law, you need to come to this church, you need to tithe, you need to join this, you need to join that, and they go right along with it. That burns me up. You know, we can get mad about people in these churches, but we should get mad about the teachers. You know, Jacob was saying earlier when he growing up, the fact that he was not allowed to question the elders. All that is authority, putting you under law. That's Romans 3:20. Therefore, when Christ came, they did not recognize him. I told you, turn Romans chapter 10. When I read this right here, Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 3, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what?
Saved.
Now, he's writing to Israel here and say, I want you to be saved. Now, was Paul an Israelite?
Mm-hmm.
Tribe of who?
Benjamin.
Brought up by the feet of Gamaliel. He was working Hebrews, touching the law, blameless, he said. And he was going up through those ranks, Paul was. And he comes here and he writes Romans 9, 10, 11, explaining to them, saying, hey, this is what God's doing. But he says, for I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to what?
Knowledge.
For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That exactly what Hebrews was saying over there, they're dull of hearing. So when that tells me, could he have known the righteousness of God?
Mm-hmm.
Was not the righteousness of God displayed for them to have? Yes. And I believe some of them did, because some of them did acknowledge who Jesus Christ was. But the thing is, so in Hebrews chapter 5, they are being recognized as having believed, but are told that they need to do more than just start on a path. They need to grow and mature. And they have become as those who need milk and not strong meat. We're told that in a way in Paul's epistles. You need to grow. You need to grow up. You can't be a child forever. You got to be a mature saint. And that's how God looks at us, as mature saints. Some of us is mature than others. That's okay. We'll grow together. That's what's important of a church over here. And that's what same over here. They're going to grow together for the ones that want to do it. But who are those? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. The following verses is very clear and should help to identify spiritual status very quickly. Who are those that needs to grow? Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what?
Babe.
Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto what?
Perfection.
Perfection. How are you going to be perfected? Let's see. Not laying again the foundations of repentance for from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptism and laying on hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. Now, perfecting the kingdom saints is not going to be found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see that, don't you? They're not going to be able to go back over here and do the things that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John laid out for the disciples to do to get people in that kingdom church to be perfected. Perfection, maturity, will be found in the Hebrews through Revelation for these guys over here. Now, mind you, the body of Christ, keep this in mind, we're not talking about the body of Christ. We're out of here. So just clear your mind about that, okay? He's talking about this group of people over here, how they're going to be perfected, how they're going to be separated, how they're going to withstand some things and not to be tossed to and fro. And the issue of for these people is not going back and laying on again the doctrinal foundations found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, etc. This is where you read about the foundations of repentance from dead works. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Faith towards God, the doctrine of baptism, the laying on hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Those are foundational issues. And Hebrews is exhorting the kingdom saints to go on to perfection, maturity. Don't go back to that. That's babe stuff. That's milk stuff. Today, it aggravates me. And if I sound mad, I apologize. I'm not mad at you. I'm just mad at the system that these 90% of churches out there are back in this time period over here trying to get you to do this stuff. Grow up. Hey, you use this illustration time and time again. If a house was on fire over and there's people over there, would you just leave them over and burning?
No.
Would you just say, hey, have a nice life. Ain't nothing I can do about you. Well, there's churches in there. We got friends, neighbors, and loved ones that's in these churches burning. And they'll continue to burn because they like it. You ever notice that? Oh, we're fine. We'll get saved out of here. I think about our loved ones when we was down in Virginia for 7 years. We went through every one of them, didn't we? Talked to them about this glorious gospel, the grace of God, and how about faith plus nothing else. And how you can live in Christ, let Christ live in you. What a difference it makes. Oh, no, you got to do this. And you got to do that. Mm-hmm. And you got to join this. And you're like, no, you don't. And we moved up here. And I've been up here for 22 years now. And still pushing, still proclaiming. And we're thankful that you're here. But you still have people like that. Friends, neighbor, loved ones. They're right back in the system. And they don't care. They just—they care enough to stay where they're at. And you're like, come out. You want to be a John the Baptist out there in the parking lot, and you want to come out, repent, change your mind, get on the glory train, you know, that type of thing. But look, the emphasis of all the Hebrews epistles is pressing towards the goal. They need to endure to the end, as it says in Matthew 24:13. That is the same as we read in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 6 and 14. The doctrine that makes up the foundation of the kingdom program are those listed in verses chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. They will learn those foundational truths from the apostles and from Christ in the earthly ministry. Now they need to build on that foundation of advanced truths about the priesthood of Christ and the replacement of the old covenant with the new covenant. All this stuff has changed. We looked at that a couple lessons ago. Shadow of things to come. Let no man put you under meat, drink, and respect of new moons and Sabbath days. For they are a shadow of things to come. Things over here. I can't keep helping to think. When they went out in this wilderness for how many years?
40 years.
And wandered. You know their shoes didn't wear out? You know the tabernacle made out of skins? It didn't wear out? That's pretty interesting. That's who provided that?
God did.
And they went out here and God provided everything. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. He gave them everything, but we won't. God said, okay. We want judges. We want kings. He gave them what he wanted. It wasn't too pleasant. That right there is a dress rehearsal of what's going to happen over here. They're going to go out in the wilderness. They're going to be forced to go out in the wilderness over here, just like they over there. So some of the things they're like, was written for our learning. We can learn from what God did for us. He's going to do it again over there for them. And they need to have a full understanding of what the cross has accomplished for Israel and the circumcision believers. We know what the cross accomplished for us believers in the body of Christ. Amen? So Hebrews is going to explain to them what that cross did for them. So they will understand. They're not back under the Mosaic law. And the issue of each of the Hebrews epistles is different, but each is from the same point of view, pressing on towards the end, the fulfillment of that kingdom over here. They're going to have to endure to the end over here. Can you imagine you and I enduring to the end?
No.
You think the sign gifts and tongues will be reinstituted during that time?
They're going to have some. But it's not going to be like what they have over here. Now the Hebrews are going to be speaking in their own language. Okay, they're going to be Gentiles out here over this way. But the book of Hebrews is a contrast to the book of Romans in many ways. But Hebrews is specifically a treatise on the cross for the prophetic prospect for the kingdom saints. Hebrews has nothing to do with the saints, the body of Christ. Now, you can look at it and appreciate it and say, hey, man, you got some days ahead of you. And the gospel in Hebrews is the kingdom gospel. Gospel of the kingdom, right here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. As this word, yet once more, signify the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a what? Consuming fire. Was he a consuming fire over there? Pillar smoke, fire, consuming fire.
Burning bush.
Burn. Over here, consuming fire. When he comes back to this earth, he's going to burn the earth fairly well. He's not going to flood the earth no more. So just forget about that. All this rain comes around and all these flood. Remember Katrina? He said, God's trying to tell the homosexuals down there that he's flood. No. He's not flooding the earth. He said it. Did he not?
He did.
And he gives us a sign of a rainbow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it means to what the man speaking from heaven is talking about? It is Christ at his second coming when he comes back to shake not just the earth, but the heavens. Revelation says, out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. And what is that?
The word of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's Hebrews 4:12. When Christ speaks at his second coming, the earth trembles as it shakes from the power of his voice. You ain't seen an earthquake yet. Power of his voice. The voice of an archangel. That's a voice. And the Lord himself will speak. And he shakes the earth. And he shakes the heavens. Isaiah talks about a scroll, don't it?
Scroll.
Scroll, thank you. Okay, Job says the heavens not cleanse. If you look up there today and see that blue skies and see the stars, it's not clean, guys. Satan is the god of this world and the prince of power of the air. So what is it? It's Hebrews 9:8. The Holy Ghost, thus signifying that the way into the holiness of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then presented, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to his conscience, which stood only in meat, drinks, and divers washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of what?
Reformation.
Hey, what did that just tell you? What they did could not make them what?
Perfect.
So where was their heart? That's why I said before, if all they did is by faith took God at his word, they wouldn't have had to go through a lot of things. But sometimes we get that way, I believe. Sometimes we like...
When is the time of Reformation mentioned there?
Let's look at this. It's over here.
Okay.
Acts chapter 3, verse 21 says this. You might want to write this down. Or put a little note by it. In your Bible, Acts 3:21. Whom the heavens must receive into the time. Well, let me turn there. Go to Acts. Where did I say to go? Acts 3. Very, very important. You already know what Acts 2:38 says. That's 90% of the churches. But when you bring about what Acts 3:19 says, they forget about that. Acts 3. Peter's speaking to Israelites here too. Okay? Back there, he's speaking at Pentecost. There's 15 nations. They're all Jewish there. I don't know if you ever counted them. But if you was, it didn't matter what, where you lived. If you was a Hebrew, you went to pay homage at Israel for Passover and Pentecost. The Ethiopian eunuch. What do you know about him?
He was a proselyte.
He was Jewish. Mm-hmm. And he went up there. He had some stuff from the queen there, didn't he?
And he must have been well done because he had a copy of the scriptures.
And he's read, and Philip goes, understand what thou knowest, readest? He said, how do I know if I don't have a preacher?
And nobody will teach me. Sure.
And so Philip is reading the scriptures and he takes them. This is one of my favorite things, because the eunuch was dry. And he took him to Isaiah, where he says a eunuch will no longer be a dry tree. He's going to start drinking out of living water. That's y'all been around. Y'all seen that tree study I did? No. I started in the garden with the tree, and I ended with the tree of life. And I took this timeline, and every one of these was trees, and this is the main tree. And I showed you what the trees. The Bible, the trees of the Bible, and what got me started was Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah, said that the trees was clapping their hands. I'm like, how does trees clap their hands? That's creation. And you know, I don't know if you saw the Lord of the Rings, and the big trees that talked, and anyway. That eunuch's not going to be dry no more. He's going to drink out of the living word of God. But Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8, Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer have so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets. What? That verse refers to what time period?
Time past. Ages to come.
Yeah. It's referring to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It refers to the kingdom on earth, the times of restoring all things which God has spoken about since the world began. Right now, is God speaking in the dispensation of grace? Let's test your mind just for a second or two. In the dispensation of grace. Is God speaking out of the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began?
No.
Kept secret.
This is kept secret. So what he's talking about here is referring to this time period over here. When he sends Jesus Christ back. That is about the new covenant and the establishment of the kingdom to the nation of Israel. Let me get through this right quick. The book of Hebrews is explaining the cross to Israel. Takes you from the old covenant to the new covenant. By the way, you're not a covenant people. Never was. Never will be. Well, maybe you will be when it's all said and done over here. You know, well, when God takes the heaven and earth, there will be a covenant with the heaven and earth, the people in the heaven and earth. But not this covenant we're talking about. How's that? Okay. People are like, what do I got? In the old covenant, nothing was made perfect, so they needed a new covenant. Isn't that interesting? You know, that they had to have a new covenant because the old covenant, they didn't keep. Hey, in order for you to get in a new covenant, don't the old covenant have to be done away with?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. If you think about if we was covenant people, and this was the old covenant, and God had a new covenant right here, why are you still doing over stuff in the old covenant over here? That's a good thought, isn't it? You talk to these people that's covenant, people like, say, wait a minute. If you're part of the new covenant, why are you still back over here living like you was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Might be a thought. It was moved from Aaron to Christ and to a new and living way through the blood of Christ. It is new in that it was made first covenant old. Hebrews 10, it is the living way because the old covenant was abolished of administration of death, and the new is the administration of life, and because he writes his spirit in their hearts and calls them the capacity to acknowledge that. You know what Ezekiel talks about He takes them. God says, I will take you from the land amongst the Gentiles, and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and I will put a new heart in you, and I will cause you. That's over here. And those believers, those Jewish believers, are going to have that spirit on them that they're not going to be able to sin, and you're not going to be able to kill. The shadow is done away with, and reality is introduced. One of the main issues in Hebrew is faith found on a better substance found in who? Who are they going to put that in the book of Hebrews? Who are they going to put their faith in?
Jesus Christ.
Did they put their faith in Jesus Christ over here?
No.
Should they have?
Mm-hmm. Little flock did.
Yeah, little flock did.
Yeah.
But should they? Who's Jesus Christ?
A Jew.
But not only that, but who is he?
The Son of God.
Is he not God? Do you not look at Jesus Christ as God?
Yes.
You know, there's only one person in this Bible that walked on water. And I think the psalmist talks about that he calms the sea and walks upon the sea. And he's talking about God. And what did Lord Jesus Christ do?
Walked on water.
He was God.
Didn't Peter walk?
No,
he sunk.
He was God. Now you go over here to frozen lakes and walk on water in the wintertime. But the thing is that he was God. Don't ever forget that. To me, people say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And that motivation is in Jesus. And he's the more excellent one. The more glorious one, the more excellent alternate, more than Moses, Joshua, Aaron, because it was his better sacrifice and a better covenant. And Israel can look at him and see a fulfillment of everything they hope for, and the book of Hebrews motivates them and warns them against going back over here. Hey, I believe this wholeheartedly, that when we're out of here, the people over here is going to try to take the Bible believers and try to convince them, no, you have to do what Paul says. Just like today, when God through Paul says to do this, well, they say, no, you have to do what Moses says. Two big historical figures in your Bible, Moses and Paul. You ought to do a comparison about them, because you'll follow one or the other. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, you know you trust him, but you either follow Moses or Paul in their teachings. We'll stop there and pick up next week. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. We thank you for the lessons that we have in your book. We thank you for the fundamentals of dispensationalism that we've been taught through the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we do want to thank you for tuning in. And don't forget, if you want to help us out at our little ministry, we'd love for you to come by and see us. We meet here every Sunday at 10 o'clock. Come by 9:30, we're sitting around fellowship, don't we, guys and gals? But anyway, until next week.